In area news, a woman from Arkansas was injured during an accident Monday evening in Exira. The Iowa State Patrol reports 61-year-old Monta Bejos of Dover, Arkansas, was transported to the Cass County Hospital by Exira Rescue. After the pickup she was a passenger in was involved in a broadside-type accident with another pickup. The accident happened around 7:10 p.m. at the intersection of Fairview and Washington Streets in Exira. Officials said a 2010 Ford F-150 pickup driven by 74-year-old Lonnie Barber of Hamlin had failed to stop at a posted intersection while traveling south on Fairview. His pickup continued into the intersection where it was hit broadside by a 2005 Dodge pickup driven by 62-year-old David Bejos of Dover, Arkansas. The accident happened as Bejos was traveling east on Washington Street. Monta Bejos suffered from unknown chest injuries resulting from her seatbelt and a non-deployment of the airbag. A report on her condition is not available. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. Do you know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
An accident in Avoca Saturday afternoon resulted in one person being sent to the hospital. According to Lieutenant Pat McGinn of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office, 30-year-old Tyler Griffin of Avoca was transported to Mercy Memorial Hospital in Harlan and later transferred to a hospital in Omaha following the accident at the intersection of North Walnut and High Streets in Avoca at around 2:30 p.m. Saturday. McGinn told KJAN News that a car driven by 16-year-old Mason Crum of Logan had been traveling south on Walnut Street, and when he turned west onto High Street into the path of Griffin's northbound motorcycle. Charges were pending in connection with that crash. An Irwin woman was injured early Friday morning during a rollover accident about 6 miles east of there. The Audubon County Sheriff's Department said 52-year-old Deborah Jane Rasmussen Krause was transported to the hospital in Manning following the crash, a report on her condition not available. That accident happened around 12:45 a.m. Friday on 150th Street near Yellowwood Road. Authorities say the woman was traveling west on 150th when her 2006 Ford F-250 crossed the center line, went out of control and entered a ditch before it hit an embankment and flipped onto its side. Rasmussen Krause was trapped in the pickup until being freed by Irwin Fire and Rescue. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $16,000. The accident remains under investigation. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that no injuries were reported following two separate accidents which occurred on Friday. One of the accidents happened around 3:20 p.m. on 750th Street at the Messina Cemetery. Officials say a 2011 Chevy pickup owned and driven by 76-year-old Richard Dean Fullman of Messina was making a left turn into the South Cemetery entrance when his vehicle was hit on the rear driver's side corner by a 1998 Chevy pickup. The accident happened as 26-year-old Cody John Simpson of Geneva, Iowa, was attempting to pass Fullman's vehicle. There were no citations issued. Damage amounted to $2,500. The second accident happened around 6:10 p.m. Friday on 570th Street north of Fayette Road. Sheriff's officials say a 1994 Ford pickup driven by 18-year-old Ethan Caleb Joseph Nochtman of Atlantic was northbound on 570th when Nochtman lost control of the vehicle. The pickup slid into the east ditch and hit a power pole. There were no citations issued. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $2,500, while the power pole sustained $500 damage. A Griswold woman was cited for unsafe backing Monday morning after the vehicle she was driving hit a parked pickup. The accident happened at around 9 a.m. on Union Street in Griswold. The Cass County Sheriff's Office has a 2010 Ford Taurus owned and driven by 66-year-old Julianne Margaret Adams of Griswold was backing out of a garage onto Union Street when the car hit a 2008 Nissan Titan that was legally parked and owned by Christopher Thomas McCoy. Adams' Taurus sustained $600 damage during the mishap, while damage to McCoy's truck was estimated at $2,000. The Atlantic Police Department said Monday that five people were arrested over the weekend, taken into custody on Saturday on a charge of OWI first offense, was 36-year-old Brandon Shadden of Oakland, And among those arrested Sunday was 43-year-old Rhonda Stanley of Atlantic. She was charged with OWI second offense. 43-year-old Brian Wright of Atlantic, 33-year-old Sergio Ramos of Greenville, North Carolina, and 20-year-old John Bierbaum of Griswold were each arrested on a charge of OWI first offense. All of those individuals were booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending a court appearance. The Clarinda Police Department said yesterday that one person was arrested Sunday night on drug charges. 23-year-old Zachary Allen Colbank of Stanton was taken into custody just before 10 p.m. on a possession of marijuana third offense and drug paraphernalia charge. Colbank was arrested at a residence on East Chestnut Street after officers responded to a reported disturbance. The man was brought to the Page County Jail and held pending a court appearance. Elsewhere in area news this morning, a family of seven firefighters from the Harlan Fire Department will be featured on Iowa Public Television tonight. Tom Butler of Harlan and his sons Chad, Brad, and Mike, along with his daughter Christy Pedersen, son-in-law Tim Pedersen, and daughter-in-law Robin Butler, are all members of the Harlan Fire Department. Tom Butler says he has Harlan Fire Chief Roger Beeson to thank for getting the family on TV.
They wanted to do a segment on a family of firefighters, and Chief Roger Beeson threw our name in the hat. And so Iowa Public Television came to our house, interviewed us, and then interviewed other families in Iowa, and decided that the Butler family was the family to do the segment. So they came to our house and started filming.
Families from the state of Iowa were interviewed as potential candidates for the segment entitled Iowa's Firefighting Families. Butler says once the film crew came back, they followed and filmed the family for a week.
They actually filmed kind of our everyday activities. They also wanted to interview us at the fire station. They just kind of set us down in the fire station and started asking questions. Each one of us individually, even interviewed my wife, who's not a member of the fire department, but a very good supporter. But they spent a week at the house. They wanted to film us running to actual calls and, you know, just kind of everyday life of a volunteer firefighter.
And Tom Butler says at first he didn't think he had the time to join the Harlan Fire Department, but one fire in particular changed his mind.
After the fire at the Hy-Vee grocery store, it's where my wife worked, I walked in there and I seen the devastation that a fire could do, and then I just kind of decided then that, yeah, I guess I'll join the fire department. And then my children just grew up, you know, in the fire station and kept the tradition rolling.
And he's been on the Harlan Fire Department now for 24 years. Most of his kids have been serving with the department for over a decade. The 30-minute program featuring the Butler family will air at 7 o'clock tonight on Iowa Public Television. If you missed that broadcast, you have a chance to see it again on Tuesday, June the 12th, beginning at 4:30, or on Sunday, June 24th at 8:30 p.m. Butler says it was an honor to be featured on that program. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Wisconsin voters will settle a year of turmoil today when they vote in a recall of Republican Governor Scott Walker. He's facing Democrat Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee. Walker's opponents launched a recall drive after he successfully led an effort to strip most public workers of their collective bargaining rights. A bill that would ban gender discrimination in pay is up for consideration by the Senate today. Democrats say women now earn an average of 77 cents for every dollar earned by a man. Among other things, the proposal would require companies to show that difference in wages are not based on gender. Opponents call that a burden on employers. Prosecutors and lawyers for former Penn State defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky are picking a Pennsylvania jury today in his child abuse trial. His lawyers tried repeatedly to delay the trial. He's accused of molesting 10 boys over 15 years on campus and at his home. Sandusky says he committed no crimes. And a sudden violent storm in southeastern Missouri has left one man and his two adult sons dead. Authorities are assessing the damage after high winds, heavy rain, and hail ripped through parts of Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky late yesterday. Winds blew over a mobile home about 100 miles south of St. Louis, killing the three men. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. For major repairs, including new house construction to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Aletha Brew, age 86 of Harlan, died May 27th at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Funeral services for Aletha Brew will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Francis Jean Jeannie Carlson, age 59 of Atlantic, died May the 29th. Memorial services for Jeannie Carlson will be held today at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Nathan Tater Hutt, age 3 of Fontenelle, died May 27th. Funeral services for Nathan Hutt will be held today at 3 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Robert Bob Eugene Griffin, age 81 of Menlo, died Saturday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Bob Griffin will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. James R. Perkins, age 51 of Rembrandt, died Sunday at the Bryan Lincoln General Hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska. Funeral services for James Perkins will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Roland Raleigh Ackerman, age 97, formerly of the Atlantic and Griswold areas, died November 14th in Idaho. Memorial services for Raleigh Ackerman will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Carl Jr. Washburn, age 81, of Guthrie Center, died January 4th in McAllen, Texas. Memorial services with full military honors for Carol Washburn will be held on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the Union, at 11 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center is in charge of the arrangements. And that is a check of our news this morning here on KJAN, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.